And now here is your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely post-Thanksgiving day. And so if whatever you ate, I hope you've digested it by now. And I also hope you can lean back and give us an hour of your valuable time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're encouraging your participation in every way we can. The two numbers to give us a call with a question or answer, area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free. Yes, we still have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We do have some lines open right now. Sometimes we do get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show. Try to take as many calls as we can, but give us a call soon. It's always the best way to get on the air. Again, 415-841-4134 or toll-free, 866-798-8255. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So I know you think it might just be me talking, but it's really not, because we have Kira and Lori on Zoom. Are you there?
I'm here. Kira?
Yeah, I'm here. If you had the screen in the room with you, you'd know that.
Well, I don't.
I know. I don't know why you don't want to look at us, Dana, but whatever.
Well, I'll let you answer that question. And okay, all that being said, we're going to start. Oh, sorry, I should remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. We don't read them during the show generally, but they all get read. So it's always great to hear from our listeners out there with a comment or a complaint or a question. And mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. If you'd like to hear our show and live stream that through the miracle of science is possible, simply by going to kalw.org. Again, that is kalw.org. There's a live stream going on right now. And, of course, if you'd like to hear the podcast, and who wouldn't, that would be available after our show tonight, thanks to Debbie, and also at kalw.org and a lot of other places, but I'm sure they would like you to start with KALW. All right. All that being said, we're going to start with the round of introductions. Kira has thoughtfully texted me hers, and I will read that right now. A flowy haircut is actually starting to sound pretty good to Kira Pace right about now.
Yeah. It's getting a little wild, although I'm waiting for Floby to come out with their hair bluification.
I think you'd look great on the radio with a Floby.
Yeah.
That's why I don't want to see you.
Oh, because my hair is not cut with a Floby. Yeah. That's why. Uh-huh. All right. I've blown it for us all. I apologize. So after now decades of recounts, accusations of fraud, rigging, and lawsuits, Lori Fisher would like to publicly and formally concede that he actually did lose his high school student council presidential election to regular Minds Over Matter caller Fred from West Virginia. Lori invites so soon to be former president to do the same. I've not used those two words together in the entire 4 years. I refuse to do it now.
Fair enough. Last Thursday, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, kept a protective eye on the wild turkey couple that lives in his front yard, but had to go inside occasionally to see how far less fortunate chicken was doing in the oven.
That's right. Well, you know, we can't all be winners, can we? So
we cannot.
That's Trump. Yeah,
I wasn't either in my election. Yeah. Fred was. So.
All right. All that being said, would anybody like to take a small bet on Ed is going to ask a question about this full moon tonight?
The Beaver Moon, I think.
Yes.
Did I read Beaver Moon?
Beaver Moon, yes.
Beaver Moon. Yes. All right. Ed, we already know. It's a Beaver Moon.
I hope one of us has read up on the Beaver Moon.
Yes.
The Justin Bieber moon, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It takes me back to high school. But anyway, Kira, we're going to start with you.
All right. I got a couple questions for you that are somewhat related. Question number one, what is the name of the average color of the universe? And question two, eigengrau is specifically the color of what? So A, I would like to know the name of the average color of the universe, and B, I'd like to know what eigengrau is with some degree of specificity.
Could you spell eigengrau?
Sure. E-I-G-E-N-G-R-A-U. Eigengrau.
You mean as in a mountain, the eigen? So is it a flower? Is it a cover of a flower or a moss?
It is not.
Okay.
I have a question about how you determine the average color of the universe. I think of average.
They took the light of 200,000 galleries or galaxies closest to Earth and averaged it. So,
wow.
The spectrums, like.
And is this going to be like a Sherwin Williams thing where there's like 18 adjectives before the color, or can I just say
no?
Black?
It's a two word color.
It's a two word color. Yes. Ebony black.
It is not. That there's also a hex code if you care, but
I know there's hex code, but I don't know them well.
Yeah, okay. I'm
surprised that Trump let this scientific research go forward, but okay.
To be fair, this was 2001.
Oh, all right.
Okay. W.
All right. Huh. So, is there? I mean, is this a standard name for a color, or is this a color that it's only represents this one thing?
No, it's. It only represents this one thing, really. It was a name that.
So you would never hear this name otherwise. In other words, if you did not understand how it applied to, you know, the color in space, you would never hear this name. Like it's. You know,
Lori was actually pretty close when he said it was like a Sherwin. It's like a paint color name. It really is. It's like a paint color name.
Right.
It's two words long. If you hear this name, you automatically have a general idea of what this color. Is
yeah, like dapple gray or watermelon
yeah,
pink?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Industrial something. Yeah, we might sell a lot of paint for Sherwin Williams.
All right, repeat. Why don't you give that question once more?
Sure. I want to know what is the name of the average color of the universe, and also eigengrau is specifically the color of what?
All right, and Lori, go ahead.
All right. Well, my question is a follow-up from my introduction about losing my high school presidential student council election. Trump is about to lose the election.
I'm glad you're working your way through this.
I am. It's taken a while. Fred will call and probably say that I didn't actually run, but that's another story.
Okay.
So here's my question. It's about Trump is probably going to lose by close to 7 million votes. I want to know which presidential election was the first time somebody lost by 7 million or more votes. And then there's been quite a few of them. I would like to know the five most recent elections in which the loser, well, let's put it like this, the winner won by 7 million votes or more. So I want to know the first time it happened, and I want to know the previous five times. And I don't know if this is too much in Dana's wheelhouse, so I'll give you a total of like three total.
I'll go with Reagan Mondale right now as being one of the five most recent.
And it is. And it was 16, almost 17 million in 1984. Very good.
All right. How about George H.W. Bush and Clinton?
No, that's not one of them.
Okay. And how about Carter Reagan?
Yes, that's one for 1980.
Right.
That's
8.4 well, million. What about Dukakis Bush?
Ah, that is correct. 1988. Okay. So let's leave the rest out there, unless you want to take one quick guess on the first one, okay, which is quite a bit before any of these. So we're looking for two of the five most recent. You got Reagan Carter, Reagan Mondale, and H.W. Bush and Dukakis. I'm looking for the very first one. And let's leave the two more recent ones.
Dan, is it before Landon Roosevelt, 1936?
It is before that.
Oh, then it is Taft Wilson?
It is not.
Okay. All right.
Terry, you got it?
No, Dana took my guess. Taft Wilson.
Yeah, I know I did.
I'll claim that. I'll claim Taft Wilson is mine.
Okay, so we'll leave that out there. The first election in which a presidential candidate won by 7 million or more votes, and of the five most recent, which two are still out there?
Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Colette from San Leandro.
Hi, Colette.
The Titanic was built. In what city?
Belfast, isn't it?
Yes.
It's nice.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, thank you, Colette. Okay. All right.
Good question.
And next call.
Hi, it's Ed. Thank you very much for mentioning my name.
I didn't mention your name. We mentioned the Well, I guess we did mention your name.
We did. Oh, we mentioned it. Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we don't really know the exact color of the universe, but a couple of guys came with the fact that somewhere between pale turquoise and aquamarine. Is this the answer you wanted to?
It is not, because actually about 6 months after that, they called it cosmic green. Okay. I think that's what they called it. But then they realized that they had not calibrated something, like their computer calibration was off, and they gave a different color. So it's not actually green.
Yeah, you know why? Because they don't really know. What is it? No. It is a guessing game between some scientists who like to get some fame by guessing. We don't really know. All right, my question is, this great woman physicist...
Kira, put you in your place, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Really, yeah, me and all the guys at Johns Hopkins.
In our hands.
Those guys.
Remember,
I asked,
what is the true color of water? Do you know what the true color of water is? That is a very good question, and we know what the true color of water is.
Aquamarine.
Well, it reflects blue, so...
It is blue. It really is blue. Yeah. And you see it when you go swimming pool at night. And look at the water at an angle. It is blue. It really is blue. It's not just reflection from the sky, as high school teacher used to teach us. Okay, my question is really a very sad question. Okay, this woman, great woman, her name, I'm going to ask her name. She was called the mother of nuclear physics. She also was the first physicist to request or to do research, atom for peace, nuclear medicine using X-ray. I'll give you a hand. She was Egyptian, so what, you know. All right, what is her name?
She'd know.
Let me give another hint. She actually spent some time in all of the nuclear labs in the United States, Oak Ridge National Lab, as well as Los Alamos. And guess what? Her last lab was our lab, Lawrence Lab at Berkeley, which has spent over a year. Lawrence Lab at Berkeley. In fact, the Lawrence Lab have very beautiful tribute. Everybody, just Google, I'll give you her name in a second if you don't know. Lawrence Lab had a beautiful tribute to her tremendous achievement and, you know, the things she did to science, especially nuclear physics for peace and nuclear medicine. What do you think?
I do not know.
Can you Google it while I'm talking to you, or should I just give it to you?
Go ahead, give it to us.
Yeah, her name was Samira, that's Sameera Musa, Mousa. Guess what happened to her? She was Lawrence Lab, remember? What happened to her?
Don't know.
Oh, is she the person who was in a car hit her?
It wasn't a car hit her. She was assassinated. You remember the Iranian scientist a couple of days ago?
Right.
Mm-hmm. She was invited to a bogus dinner somewhere. Then a driver came and picked her up, took her to Highway 1 out of all places. That is, 30, 40 miles from Berkeley? And the driver jumped out of the car and let the car go down the ravine, and she was killed. That beautiful, you know how old she was? 35. The car, the driver was never found. The car had license plates of bogus. She was assassinated. Probably, but you know, I'm not going to say who assassinated her, but probably the same group that assassinated, I'm not going to mention name. But I really want everybody, please, everybody, Google search Lawrence Museum, Hall of Museum, or Lawrence Lab, Samira Musa. They have about 10 minutes video. It breaks your heart when you watch it, because it tells you all of the achievements she did and how great scientist she was. We have to stop this war, bunch of garbage. Science is beautiful. And this woman actually was not good for war. She was, her whole research and life was science, for atom for peace. She graduated from University of Chicago, which I graduated from, and she was at UC Berkeley, which I was there for 13 years.
All right.
Please, everybody, Google her. Samira Musa, Mousa. Thank you very much. All great right. Show always. Thank you.
Another post-Thanksgiving story. Okay, and let me give you a couple questions here. All right, who is historically the earliest American in the Chess Hall of Fame? It's somebody who is obviously well-known outside of chess.
Oh, is this Lincoln?
It is not Lincoln.
No, he's wrestling. Sorry. Ha.
Yeah. He's in the Wrestling Hall of Fame?
He is in the Wrestling Hall
of
Fame.
Yeah.
No. Really?
Okay. Yeah, really. Who is historically the earliest American in the Chess Hall of Fame?
Although, was it a founding father by any chance? Okay, then I'll guess Franklin.
You're right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Benjamin Franklin. He even wrote a book about chess that's still used today, as a matter of fact. Okay. According to a survey done by the Job Network, These are the 8 most effective words to describe yourself in a job interview. Yeah. So according to a survey done by the Job Network, these are the 8 most effective words to describe yourself in a job interview. I take issue with one of the words because I actually don't think it's a real word. But but we can argue that later. So I'll give you each one guess.
I'm going to go with initiative.
Oh, that's good.
No.
No. Well, not that.
Well, I guess you wouldn't describe yourself as an initiator.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are adjectives. Are they all adjectives?
Yes.
Okay. So let me take a note. I'll guess persistent.
It makes it sound like you start fights if you say initiative.
How about persistent?
Persistent. Yes. Persistent is okay. One. Very good.
Yes. What about proactive?
No.
Okay.
All right, I'll give you one more guess, Kira, because you didn't get it.
You know what? I'm going to bank my guess for later. Let me think about it.
All right. So according to a survey done by the Job Network, these are the 8 most effective words to describe yourself in a job interview. And Lori got persistent.
Oh, what about motivated?
I can't give it to you, but there's a synonym for it. So do you want to try? You want to try another one?
You're
certainly very close to that. It's just not the word they're using.
That's fair. I'll think about it.
Okay.
Maybe someone will call in.
Debbie has a guess. Debbie says problem solver.
No. Okay. And neither is people person, which I am. Okay. And I'll give you one more short question here. What winner of the Best Picture Academy Award has been remade the most times?
Oh, wait. Just a Best Picture, you said?
Yeah, only...
Okay, so not Star is Born. Okay.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, no, that didn't win. No.
Right.
So what winner of the Best Picture Academy Award has been remade the most times?
How many times?
More than 2.
Oh, is that... Philadelphia Story. Does it have the same name every time? I guess it doesn't.
It would
have a different name.
Most of the time it did, but not always.
Well, it sounds like a lot more than 2 then.
I'm stretching it.
Yeah.
What's the one with the so it was not a fair to remember. Whatever.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
That wasn't Deborah.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. Love Affair, then Affair to Remember. But that was never Best Picture.
So. It wasn't Best
Picture.
No.
Okay.
Sorry. So just once more, according to a survey done by the Job Network, these are the 8 most effective words to describe yourself in a job interview. And second question, what winner of the Best Picture Academy Award has been remade the most times?
I have a question about the Best Picture one.
Yes.
Was one of the times it was made before it became Best Picture? Or did it start life as the Best Picture?
Yes.
Ah.
Oh, I think I misinterpreted this. So it only won Best Picture once, but it's been remade several times beyond that?
Yes.
One of the times was before it was Best Picture?
Yes.
Okay.
Wizard of Oz?
No.
Okay.
That was never Best Picture.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Gone with the Wind. Okay.
That wasn't remade before. That wasn't made before. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Do pessimistic astronomers see the moon as half empty?
Nice.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Hey, here's me. There once was a fella named Peter, detested the kilo and meter. A pint is a pound the whole world around, and you can't toast to that with your liter. That's my personal limerick.
Okay.
And that leads to this. Not dealing with metric, of course. In customary measure, name the customary units of volume / weight, starting with a pint, like pint, let's go up. Quart, half gallon, gallon. Now name other units roughly from smaller to larger, larger and larger units of weight / volume.
Did you know it was a beaver moon?
The what?
Did you know it was a beaver moon?
Don't change the topic.
I'm just trying to change the subject. That's all. Okay.
So do you want like liter, decaliter, and so on?
No. Okay. No metric. I'm anti-metric. I'm actually the director of research for Americans for Customary Make, Weight, and Measure. I'm the foremost measurement geek.
And so are we looking for only liquid measures?
No, liquid slash weight.
Okay, so like bushels and pecs are you're
talking
about.
Fine. That's okay. Fine, but go in the right order. Pecs are smaller. A bushel is 4 times a peck. A peck all times right. 4. So 2 gallons, usually, and this is the beauty of our system, it's based on human proportions, and we basically double. If you cook anything in the kitchen, you don't want to know times 5 or times 10. You want to double the recipe or half it. So a gallon, 2 gallons is a peck. 4 pecks is a push of a bushel, and try to go up from there and see how many units you can
how
get.
Many, may I ask, how many answers you're looking for here?
As many as you can come up with. There's so many different units from different... you don't have to know if it's doubling or whatever. Just try to go from small to large.
I think the most effective use of the time, unless Lori and Kira know this.
All I have is a hug around the neck, which is from Guys and Dolls, a bushel and a peck and a hug around the neck.
Okay, I knew that would come up somehow. And it would probably be better if we put it out and let people answer it.
Yeah, put it out there. I mean, certainly you can think of a barrel is an answer. And here's a good one. Any bartenders there? What do you think of first?
Are you talking about like a jigger. A dram?
Well, now you're getting smaller. Yeah, okay. And those are very good. A dram, a jigger, they were excellent to go smaller. And larger, though, I was thinking a keg, for instance.
Would you like to give the answers to Debbie, or do you want to let people guess as things go along, or how would you like?
That would be good. Let me give them to Debbie let the incoming callers look at them up because there are so many different units and.
All right,
it'll be fun.
Don't weigh her down too much. She's got a lot of stuff to do here. So, okay. All right, I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Okay.
Sure.
And all right. Debbie, you should handle that. And in the meantime, let me remind you that you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. You see, we get all kinds of calls, don't we? And our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor, Laurie Fisher from Dabo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you are listening to us on 91.7 FM, that is KALW, your local public radio station. In the meantime, while Debbie's handling that, Kira, why don't you do a question?
All right. I have my list question, so get ready to write. I'm going to give you the name of some TV detectives, and I just want you to tell me the name of the show that they were on. So some of these will be Private Eyes, some of these will be police detectives, but all of them detectives. I have 10 of them because Dana will pick several of them off before, or I'm sure he'll pick several
don't
of these off.
Sure.
So.
Go ahead.
I have faith in you.
Right. Columbo's not one of them, right?
Yeah. Like anybody whose show is self-titled, I did not add.
All right, good.
All right. So here are your 10. First, we have Stu Bailey. Second is Burton Guster. Third, I have Bart Grant. Fourth, I have Wayne Hayes. Fifth is Jeff Thompson. Sixth is Ellie Miller. Seven is Howard Finucane, Finucane. Eighth is Jim Hopper. Nine is Lex Rogers. And finally, Jessica Fletcher. So really quickly, I'll run through them again. Stu Bailey, Burton Guster, Bart Grant, Wayne Hayes, Jeff Thompson, Ellie Miller, Howard Finucane, Jim Hopper, Lex Rogers, and Jessica Fletcher. All of them were detectives on TV. Just let me know what show they were on.
Well, once again, your faith has been terribly misplaced.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What do you have?
Stu Bailey's the only one that jumped out at me. Isn't that Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And the show is?
What is that?
I know.
Do you? Okay, go ahead.
It's 77 Sunset Strip.
It is 77 Sunset Strip. Nice tag team effort.
I have one. I think I only have one. I thought I'd know more. I think Jessica Fletcher is Murder, She Wrote.
Well, yes.
It is. Yes, Jessica.
That was so insulting, I didn't even want to mention it.
Not to me.
So, all right.
Oh, no. I tried to add a lot of stuff from the 60s, 50s and 60s. So we have a lot of 50s and 60s detectives on there.
I knew Jim Hopper, but I don't.
Yeah.
I bet you do know Jim Hopper.
I wanted to. I almost said the Rockford Files, but that didn't sound right.
No, it's not. A little later.
All right. Why don't you just read the list once more?
All right. The ones that we have left are Burton Guster, Bart Grant, Wayne Hayes, Jeff Thompson, Ellie Miller, Howard Finucane, Jim Hopper, and Lex Rogers.
Lex Rogers. That sounds...
Go ahead.
Is that a 60s or 50s show?
Lex it is. Rogers? It's a. It's 60s.
Because you don't know too many Lexes around anymore.
No.
Are any of them comedies? Like Barney Miller kind of comedy?
One of them is a comedy, actually.
Is Lex Rogers Hawaiian Eye by any chance?
It's not. It's another thing with a place name, but it's not. It's not Hawaiian Eye or Hawaii 5-0 or anything like that.
All right.
Ellie Miller. Boy, there aren't many women detectives.
Yeah.
No, I've added actually some Oscar winners in here too, some Oscar winners who had detective shows.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Leave that out. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, Dana. It's Megan in San Francisco.
Hi, Megan. I'm glad we're on first-name basis now.
Well, you know, I'd like to think of myself as a regular. I might not be quite up to Eve's level at this point, but I'm trying to get there.
Getting close. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I have a couple of guesses for you on the outstanding questions. On the top eight interview words, how about collaborative and proactive?
Collaborative, proactive. No.
Okay, no. And then
you're not hired. Sorry.
Pass.
Back.
On the Eigengrau, I stole this answer from a friend. That's what people see when there's no light.
Correct.
Good job.
Yes, it means intrinsic gray. So it's the color you see when you close your eyes or if you're in a place with no light.
Nice.
Nicely done.
Good job.
And I have two questions for you. One is a spontaneous play on color questions. 2020 was the 20th anniversary of Pantone's Color of the Year. And the first year and the current year Color of the Year were both shades of what color?
Mm-mm. Were they blue this year? It was blue again this year, right?
Yes. 2020 was... classic blue, which is a color that anticipates what's going to happen next, according to the Pantone Color Institute. And the first color was cerulean blue, the color for the millennium.
Yeah. Nice.
And my original question is sort of topical with current events. We heard this week that the Bidens will be bringing not only their two German shepherds to the White House, but they will also be bringing a cat to continue the line of animals in the White House.
Right.
And in November of 1926, President Calvin Coolidge and Grace Coolidge received this animal from Mississippi to be served for Thanksgiving dinner.
Raccoon.
They did not. You read it.
I knew this. Yeah, there was a raccoon, and they made a pet out of it.
They did not eat the raccoon. They kept it as a pet and named it Rebecca.
Right.
Such a good pet name for a raccoon.
Anyway, thank you, Megan.
Thanks. Have a good night, guys.
All right, you too. And the two numbers to join us here on Minds Over Matter, those would be 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. And Lori, I think it's your turn.
Yeah. I read an article last week about Debbie Reynolds, who owned a lot of Hollywood memorabilia, including dresses and gowns that she put up for sale. So it led me on a hunt for the most valuable at auction Hollywood memorabilia. But with this condition, I'm not interested in things people wore, since that's the top of the list, or vehicles. There's plenty of those. So I'm looking for the five most expensively sold pieces of Hollywood memorabilia that aren't pieces of clothing or artifacts of clothing or vehicles. And it was actually tough to find the list, but I think I have nailed down the top five. I'll give you like 1.5 each.
Now, would paintings count, like the Warhol paintings of Marilyn Monroe, for example?
No. So these are things that appeared in movies, right? And so it would be like the ruby red slippers. That would be one of the articles of clothing. So it's not paintings of celebrities. It's stuff that was in movies and was sold at auction.
For instance, somebody who collects movie posters in a minor way, there are posters that can fetch close to $1 million, like for King Kong and The Mummy. Are there any movie posters on that list?
Well, again, these aren't posters or pictures. These are things that actually were in the movies. Okay.
They have to be on film in a fictional capacity.
Yeah. So like Marilyn Monroe's dress in The 7-Year Itch, that's one of the one pieces of clothing that's not on the list. You know, so these are
the Maltese, the model for the Maltese Falcon, for instance.
That's the second one on the list. Went for $4.1 million.
I'm sorry. Did you mention the ruby slippers or did you not?
Well, I'm calling that an article of clothing. So I'm not counting that on the list. So the actual Maltese Falcon, that is on the list. I'm looking for four more. Kira?
What about the snow globe or sled from Citizen Kane?
That's very good. Very good.
They're good guesses, but neither one made the top five.
Oh, all right. Huh. Okay, leave that out. Just give the question once more.
So the question is, of the five most expensive at auction pieces of Hollywood memorabilia, things that actually appeared in the movies and aren't clothing or cars, which I might ask about at a later time, which five got the most at auction? And Dana got the Maltese Falcon, the actual bird, for $4.1 million. Kira, I'll give you one more guess if you have one.
I don't.
Okay.
All right.
Dana, you got one?
Not right this minute.
Okay.
So you don't have to repeat that, but let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira?
The detectives I'm still looking for, TV detectives, Burton Guster, Bart Grant, Wayne Hayes, Jeff Thompson, Ellie Miller, Howard Finucane, Jim Hopper, and Lex Rogers. I am also looking for the name of the average color of the universe.
I am looking for the first presidential election in the United States in which the winner won by more than 7 million votes. And I'm of the five most recent in which the winner won by more than 7 million votes. I'm looking for the two that were missing. We have Reagan Carter, Reagan Mondale, and H.W. Bush Dukakis. There's two more in the top five most recent.
Is 77 cents that strip one of those ones?
Was Stu Bailey. You guys already got that, though.
That's right. Okay.
That's the question.
Can
we get another bell?
No. But I'll get one anyway. And okay, so according to a survey done by the Job Network, these are the eight most effective words to describe yourself in a job interview. So far, we only have persistence. Well, obviously, it's been quite a while since either Kira or Lori was in a job interview.
What about for motivated? You said there was a similar thing. What about go-getter?
Yeah, you're right there. I mean, it's not go-getter, but it's the same thing.
Industrious.
And it's so close that I'm just going to give it to you. It's driven.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
It's the same, basically. Yeah, same thing. So, all right, driven. And, once more, according to a survey done by the Job Network, these are the eight most effective words to describe yourself in a job interview. So far, we have driven and persistent. What winner of the Best Picture Academy Award has been remade the most times? So what is that?
And one more question about that one. Was it ever remade as a musical version of itself?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Let me think about that. Has there ever been a musical version of this? Not that I can think of right offhand.
Okay.
All right. And I'm going to do a quick question here and then. Okay. I have a feeling you're both going to get these very quickly. So these are author adjectives. Okay. In other words, these describe, I'm going to give you the meanings, and I want you to tell me the author with which they are identified. Okay. So, do you understand what I'm trying to get at here? Well, you'll get it.
Yeah, I think we'll get it once you start reading them.
Okay. So, number one, strange illogical situations. Remember, they're all authors in the answers, okay? These are author adjectives. Number one, strange illogical situations. Number two, suppression of free thought. Number three, scenes of poverty and squalor. Number four, brooding, lonely, and romantic. All these describe me.
All these describe more than one author. Yeah.
And number five, unscrupulous actions. So again, these are author adjectives. And remember, in each of the answers, there is an author's name. Number one, strange illogical situations. Number two, suppression of free thought. Number three, scenes of poverty and squalor. Number four, brooding, lonely, and romantic. Number five, unscrupulous actions. I'll give you each one guess.
So I have just a question so I understand. So these are descriptions of the kind of writing, the kind of subject matter that these authors
or
write
situations,
about, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I have one answer, and then if I'm right, then Lori, I think you'll understand, is the suppression of free thought Orwellian.
That's correct. You get the idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I get it. So all the authors have become names, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So is strange illogical situations Kira, help me. Do you think that relates to Sherlock Holmes and Conan Doyle or not?
No, I think it would probably be
No, those are logical situations. Yeah, there's always logic at the bottom of Sherlock Holmes.
Okay.
It'll be more absurd, like Beckett, but I don't think Beckett is... And
are all the adjectives that are made from the author's names, are they kind of well-known, like Orwellian?
Oh, definitely. Okay, I'll just read them out once more. Just to give you an example, suppression of free thought, that would be Orwellian. So these are author adjectives. In other words, there's an author's name in the answer. Number one, strange illogical situations. And then we have scenes of poverty and squalor, brooding, lonely, and romantic, and then unscrupulous actions.
Is poverty and squalor Dickensian?
That is Dickensian, yes.
Yay. Okay.
Good job.
Well, those are good. Okay.
All right. Okay.
I got to think on them. That's a good question. Fun.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed in Massachusetts.
Hi, Ed.
And Kira just took the one bell that I was sure I was going to get.
Pick it again.
Dickensian.
There you go.
But I've got a couple other guesses. Let me see. They interview words. And friendly?
No.
Enthusiastic or intelligent?
No. None of the above.
No. Okay. The most remade Best Picture. How about Mutiny on the Bounty?
No.
Ooh. No?
No.
Dude, I was pretty sure that was going to go.
That's been made three times, I believe.
Although I would like to see the Mutiny on the Bounty, the musical.
Yeah. Well, I never know.
A lot of dance.
And that's other than that and the insulting Jessica Fletcher, I've got nothing tonight. So I do have a couple of questions. I spent some time looking up, although it was a couple of days ago, some Thanksgiving trivia, but most of it's kind of boring and mundane. But there's one question I really liked. What are most turkey feathers used for after the birds are plucked for all those turkey dinners?
This
is more interesting than which president started Thanksgiving and who made it on Thursday. And
are they turned into pillow stuffing?
Not pillow stuffing.
Are they do they maintain their feathery shape or are they like rendered in some way?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Good question. They are, I'll use your word, rendered in some way.
Are they like boiled down and made into some sort of food product?
Candy corn.
I wouldn't think boiling is involved, but yes, they go into animal feed.
Oh.
Probably shredded more than boiled and used for the protein.
Is it dog food or cat food?
I didn't get it. What I saw, the source I had just said animal feed.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
All right.
Okay, thanks. You guys are tough tonight, but I'm enjoying listening. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ed. And, okay, who has a short question?
I do.
All right.
I do too. Go ahead, Kara.
All right.
All right, so KTDB, a National Public Radio affiliated station in Rama, New Mexico, it's the first radio station with what distinction? This is KTDB, a National Public Radio affiliated station in Rama, New Mexico.
So is it something technological, or is it something more like it's the first public radio station?
It is the first something, so it's closer to that, I suppose.
Okay, but not public radio station, okay.
No.
Do the letters have give you any sort of answer?
You know, I don't know if they changed or if they were chosen. I'm not sure. I don't have an answer for that. It's possible.
Did it earn this distinction fairly recently?
No.
Okay.
I was going to say the T is for trans or something like that. So it's the first public radio station to do something.
Not public, right?
Not public? I'm sorry.
No, it is. It's National Public Radio.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, and it's not exactly the first to do something. It's the first to be something.
Does anything to do with the language they broadcast in?
Not exactly.
Like Native American or something like that?
It is, yeah, Native. They're the first Native American owned station. Native American owned and operated. That's why I was wondering. The TDB might be, so it's owned by the Rama Navajo, and like their name is Tlokini Dine. So I'm thinking that maybe the TD refers to that, but I don't know that for sure, which is why I could not answer your question earlier.
All right. Thank you. And all right, Laurie, give your short question too.
Okay. This one, Dana, you might know right away. Well, I'll just ask it here. In October, the oldest living grandchild of a president died. Okay. So I want to know who that president was. And at the death of that person, who is the current oldest living grandchild of a president? That makes sense?
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody's going to come close to the one that died, and I believe that's John Tyler, right?
It is John Tyler.
So who was president from 1841 to 1845.
Yeah. He had 13 children, and this was in that, and then. And right. So, yes. Okay, so that's very good. Give yourself a bell on that one. So with his death, who is currently in charge of being the oldest living grandchild of a president?
Tough question.
It is.
Is it a 19th century president?
It is not. Wait a minute. It is.
Okay. All right. That has to be thought over.
Yeah.
All right. Leave it out.
Very good.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter and Bernal.
Hi, Peter.
Let's see. Successful adjectives. How about thoughtful?
No.
Original?
No.
Active?
No. I don't know what kind of jobs you're interviewing for.
No one wants any of those things.
We don't want those qualities.
Really?
No, sorry.
Well, I haven't applied for a job in 40 years. So
there you go.
Out of practice.
More power to you.
Is the characteristic color of the universe Eigenbrow?
It's not.
That'd be cool.
That'd be funny. It is not. It's much lighter, actually.
Okay. Let's see. Brooding, lonely, and romantic. That has to be one or both of the Brontes.
It's quite easily understandable why you would say that, but it's not.
Oh, okay. And I have a question.
It's pre-Bronte, brooding, and romantic.
Oh.
So not that far pre-Bronte, but pre-Bronte.
And British? Is it British?
Yes, British.
Okay. And I have a question.
Yes.
A woman named Mary died on November 28, 1699. She was the last surviving member of what group?
So was she the last group to come over on the Mayflower?
She was the last Mayflower passenger. Hmm. Aged 4 in 1620.
Hmm. Nice.
That's a long life.
Job.
Thank you.
Yep. Onward and upward.
All right. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Good evening, everybody. It's Sparky and Maddie here in Connecticut.
Hey.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
All right, let me run through the list. Describing yourself in a job, how about dynamic?
No.
Inquisitive?
No.
Reliable?
Yes, reliable. I'll get
oh, nice.
Good. It's reliable and accountable, basically, are the so are equatable here. So, okay. But yeah.
Or lazy as heck.
not a big right. seller.
My kind of job.
All right. Color of the Universe, Kara, how about International Orange?
It is not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was describing the Golden Gate Bridge. oldest grandchild, I would think it'd be one of, say, Theodore Roosevelt's.
It's not. It's before Theodore Roosevelt.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I can dig it. brooding, I'm thinking like, say, ostentatious.
Nice.
Oh, is it Jane? No, I haven't heard that. But no, it's
that's
not
good.
It's not.
I would think one of the description would be, it's got to be Dickensian.
Well, one of them was Dickensian. It was the scenes of poverty and squalor.
Oh, there you go. And film has been remade so many times, Oscar-winning film. How about Hamlet?
Hamlet's correct.
Yay.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
And that's it. Oh, we're done. We'll
all right.
See you next week.
Thank you, Sparky. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes.
No, and no musical. Well, there's an opera.
Well, you know, I don't know.
But not as a movie, I don't
know. Not think. As a movie, no.
Yeah.
There's Hamlet Part 2.
Right.
Oh, nice.
So just to repeat, what winner of the Best Picture Academy Award has been remade the most times? And that was Hamlet, or is Hamlet. And next call. Oops. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in California.
Hi, Tom.
Average color of the universe, is that snot green?
It is not. It is no green, shade of green.
Okay. Let's see. The effective words, how about effective?
No.
Job interview words,
no.
Efficient?
No.
Collaborative?
Somebody guessed that.
Yeah, well.
Oh.
Since we're moving down to the last 10 minutes or so, I'm going to give you credit for that. It's actually team player, but it's the same thing, really, when you get right down to it.
Yay. Okay. Yeah. I'll take it. Forward thinking?
You have to be a people person, too, though, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Forward thinking? No.
Yeah.
No.
No. Let's see. Desperate?
No.
Okay. The TV detectives. Jim Hopper is from Stranger Things, though.
He is from Stranger Things.
Oh.
That's
technically
Bell.
Would say he's not a detective.
For the police, he does detective work. Yes.
He counts.
Well, so does Encyclopedia Brown, but he's not a detective either. Okay.
Well, he's not on TV, I don't think. Maybe he is.
He made it, maybe.
Were he on TV, I would have put him on the list.
Okay.
As
Ellie Miller is... Olivia Colman.
That is Olivia Colman. She's one of the Oscar. Yeah, she's one of the Oscar winners on my list.
Good
That's
job.
True for Broadchurch.
Yeah. Broadchurch. Not from Hot Fuzz. But Broadchurch. Strange Illogical Situations is Kafka-esque.
Yes, Kafka-esque. That's correct.
Yeah. Nice. Unscrupulous Actions is Trumpian.
No. No.
Not
he would have had to write the book himself.
He's not a real author, yes.
Yeah.
That's true. Machiavellian.
Yes, Machiavellian is Unscrupulous Actions, yes.
The oldest grandchild, is that McKinley?
It is not McKinley.
Okay. Some of the expensive Hollywood memorabilia.
Yeah.
How about the piano from Casablanca?
That is very good. Give yourself a bow. That is number three on the list. Sam's Piano from Casablanca, $3.5 million. Looking for three more. You have another?
How about the Harrison Ford's gun in Blade Runner, I think?
No. I think it's just off the list. But there is a science, there's two science fiction-y things on the list.
Lightsaber from Star Wars?
That's one of them. Nicely done. $500,000 Bell for that one.
Proton pack from Ghostbusters?
No.
Horse head from Godfather 2?
The horse head is not on the list. I don't think that got sold at auction.
Blob from The Blob?
That went for much cheaper, I think.
And the dinner from My Dinner with Andre. That's all I got.
All right. Thank you.
Good guesses.
Okay, thanks. One question. Who is, what person in the Bible is responsible for the death of about a quarter of the world's population?
God.
Cain?
God. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, there you go.
Awesome. Right. Thanks. Great show. Bye.
That's good.
And the two numbers to join us, we've got about 9 minutes left or 8 minutes, 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi. Well, the wind is out of my sails now because Sparky got my Hamlet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But that's probably the first time in the history of the world that that sentence has been spoken. Sparky got my Hamlet. Yeah. But, the last caller got my Kafkaesque. So.
Oh, wow.
So job interview, did anyone guess creative?
No, because it's not on the list.
Okay. And the color of the universe, is that landlord white?
This is not Landlord White, but it's pretty close, actually.
Oh, okay. Beige, maybe? Or?
It is a form of beige, but the one stipulation the scientists made was that it could not be called beige.
Okay.
Wow. So it's a synonym for beige? Is it something?
Well, yeah, it's a Benjamin Moore style Sherwin Williams like name for beige. But yes, it is a beige color.
Colonial tan. How about that? Okay.
No.
Okay. Well, I have a question then.
Very quick. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Who's the only actor that I know of to have played both Jesus Christ and the captain of the Starship Enterprise?
In a film?
No, not necessarily.
In his bedroom.
It wasn't in the film necessarily.
Not in the same place at the same time. But.
Captain of the Starship Enterprise.
Captain of the Starship Enterprise and Jesus
and
Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Is this going to be the person who was Captain Kirk before Shatner? Not Captain Kirk, but
person
who had the job before Shatner.
She's right. Jeffrey Hunter. Yeah, King of Kings and the Star Trek pilot.
He was in the pilot. Yeah,
Pike,
Jeffrey Hunter.
I think.
Captain Pike. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job, Kira. Yeah.
Okay.
Tech team effort.
Yep.
Nice.
And King of Kings was where he played.
Yeah. I remember.
The blue-eyed Jesus. Yep. That's right.
Of course.
Because we all know that Jesus had blue eyes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hey. Most of my guests have been already guests. This is John from Oakland.
Hi.
The brooding, romantic adjective for authors would be Byronic.
That would be correct. It's Byronic.
Awesome.
Good job.
And for adjectives to describe yourself in an interview, innovative?
No.
No. Okay. I think most things have been guessed. Lightsaber for Star Wars was my prop one. So I think that's it. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hey, it's Bill and Melissa.
Hiya.
Let's see. Dana, you gave away Driven, which I had.
I'm sorry.
And the other one I think I have on this list is Passionate.
Passionate. I'm trying to think how close I can get to there. It's not. No, can't do it.
No, okay. All right, I have a question for you that should be right in your wheelhouse. Name the three films and the three roles for which Marlon Brando beat out Frank Sinatra.
Oh.
You mean to for the role itself?
Yes.
Well, God, no. I almost said Guys and Dolls, but he was in Sinatra.
Godfather, though, right?
Right.
He didn't beat out right Sinatra that. For that. Is that right?
Okay, so you've actually got 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Oh,
who were the characters?
Well,
was Brando going to play Nathan Detroit or something?
No.
No, Gene Kelly was going to be in it, and it was going to be
Sinatra who wanted these roles, and Brando got them.
Right. Gene Kelly was going to be Gene Kelly and Frank Sinatra doing Sky Masterson and Nathan Detroit.
Sonny Corleone.
On the Guys and Dolls, so then they moved Frank Sinatra over to Nathan Detroit and gave Sky Masterson to Brando?
Right.
Whoa. Got it.
And then he spent that movie calling Brando Mumbles. What's Mumbles doing today?
And then The Godfather, is that the other one?
That's one of the other two.
Okay. So, Kira, explain it. What happened? Sinatra was going to play Corleone?
Yeah, I just randomly read that literally 2 days ago, but I don't know the story behind it. Just I read that one fact.
So can you tell
Corleone?
Oh, okay.
Oh.
No, he's too old to play one of the kids. Unless he was... Yeah, unless it was going to be in, like, Godfather 3 or something. No, he still wouldn't have done that.
The original.
Oh, is it?
In the original. So Brando was going to... Sinatra was going to play somebody else besides...
He was going to
Tom Hagen, maybe, or something like that?
No.
All right. Oh, you better tell us. Go ahead.
It was Don Vito.
Ah.
Sinatra was going to play Vito Corleone.
He wanted to.
Ah.
He asked and got turned down. Okay, what's the third one?
We're almost out of time.
Island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah, no.
A year earlier than Guys and Dolls.
So
Streetcar Named Desire.
4. No, On the Waterfront, I bet.
Yes.
Okay.
No.
All right, there you go. Well, that makes kind of sense.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, all right. Oh, thank you very much. I'm sorry we have to clean up and run.
Great.
Thank you. All right. And let's give our answers what's left out there quickly. Kira?
Real quick, Lori, Carbonite Han Solo, was that one of the props?
No, it was not.
All right, I won't guess my other stuff. So Burton Guster is from Psych, Bart Grant is from City Detective, Wayne Hayes is from True Detective, Jeff Thompson was Miami Undercover, Howard Finucane was Manhunt, and Lex Rogers, that was Walter Matthau in Tallahassee 7000.
And who was that? Ellie Miller, who was she?
Oh, she was Broadchurch, Olivia Colman.
Oh, right. You told
right. And finally, the average color of the universe, its name is Cosmic Latte.
Presidents who lost the election by more than – who won the election by more than 7 million votes. Clinton beat Bob Dole by 8.5 million. Obama beat McCain by 9.5 million. And the first one was 1920. Warren Harding beat Cox by 7 million votes. Memorabilia-wise, the two that were missing, believe it or not, the top one is Robbie the Robot. So they're over $5 million. And the other one is Charlie Chaplin's Cane, which went for almost $500,000. Right. And that's it for me.
All right. Thank you. And according to a survey done by the Job Network, these are the 8 most effective words to use. Describe yourself: communicative, reliable, driven, meticulous, impactful, which is the word I have a problem with because it's not a real word, persistent, flexible, and team player. So let's see. Anything else? I think that was it. Okay.
What about the measures, the unit of measures? Oh. Does Debbie have that one?
No, she says no. And so thanks to technical editor Kira Pace from Diablo College, Lori Fisher. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you've been listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Thanks to Debbie Kennedy, and thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.